big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Well, hello, all you beautiful cyclists. It is Sarah, and I am back with my Saturday podcast, where I help you as newbies to navigate this amazing, yet sometimes convoluted sport. Convoluted, great word my mom used all the time when I was growing up. I am your self-imposed big sister. Noticed I don't call myself your aunt, your agony aunt. I'm not feeling old enough for that yet. And I'm here to help you with all of your cycling questions. And since we started the newbie questions on a Friday with Anthony, we have been inundated with questions. When we first started that slot, I was afraid that we weren't going to get questions in, and I thought maybe we might have to make a few of them up. But it honestly has been quite the opposite. And today I'm going to do a quick fire rapid response and answer as many as I can get through in the short time that I'm allotted today. And I've picked the recurring questions that we haven't had time to get through on the Friday slot. This is going to be a whistle stop tour. Hold on to your hats. I'm not going to go into anything in too much detail, but if I've confused you or you want me to send you some more details about anything that I talk about today, pop me an email, sarah@roadmancycling.com. Okay, let's crack on. Number one, what is DI2? Yeah, like you've probably heard myself and Anthony talk about this on the show, and you'll probably hear people talk about it on your group ride. It stands for, you could do this as a little bit of trivia next time somebody's talking about DI2. It stands for Digital Integrated Intelligence. I have seen this system described online as near telepathic shifting that remains smooth and consistent. It sounds kind of sexy, doesn't it? Okay, but put into simple terms, because I don't want to start talking about drivetrains and batteries and Bluetooth. This system and its competitor systems, they replace the old mechanical way of shifting gears with an electric process. So instead of having to give, you know, that decent push and a bit of force to change from, let's say, the small ring to the big ring or up and down the gears, you just lightly press on your levers. It's just like tapping on a computer mouse. Like, that's how little force you have to give. And it's, I have to say, it's a really, really beautiful thing. It's very smooth. It's very sensitive, so that means that the gears change really easily, but it's hella expensive. Anthony has one on his gravel bike, and I, oh my God, lusting so hard over the DI2 on his gravel bike. But I do think if you can keep your mechanical system in really good nick, so if you have it serviced regularly, if you keep it clean, if you generally care for it, give it that tender love and care, you can still get a really smooth experience moving between gears on your mechanical system. Number two, shaving legs for guys. Yeah, I'm a big fan. I think go for it. If you've worked really hard to build up those like leg muscles, why not shave your legs and show off all that definition? Plus, it's much easier if you come off your bike and you get road rash. If you've got smooth legs, it's easier to keep that road rash clean. Yeah, I just think it looks so much cooler. Now I look at guys and they've got hairy legs out. And yeah, I'm just always thinking, why don't they get the old the razor out of that? So yeah, go for it. If you hate it, it'll grow back. Number three. Chamois cream. Do I use it? Nope, I don't use it. Because when I first started cycling, Anthony completely discouraged it. He thinks you can kind of get addicted to it and become reliant on it. So you kind of just need to toughen that area up. And I agree with them. I think a good set of bike shorts, a saddle that suits you, and a bike fit, you know, these things that will actually help keep saddle sores and discomfort away. Number four, how much should I spend on cycling kit? Well, I wouldn't focus too much on, let's say, the jersey, the socks, the gilet, all that kind of stuff. Those pieces of kit don't have to be premium. But spend as much as you can afford on your shorts and your chamois. So chamois is just another word for the pad and the shorts. You're looking for the perfect chamois. You're looking for the Goldilocks chamois, the not too hard, not too soft. But yeah, the shorts, get the highest quality ones that your bank balance will allow. Number five, the difference between wet lube and dry lube. So chain oil is also referred to as lube in the cycling industry. So if you see it labeled as lube in your local bike shop, nope, don't worry, you haven't wandered into your local sex shop by accident. So wet lube is a lube meant for riding in wet or muddy conditions. It lasts long, but it can attract dirt and it'll build up over time. Dry lube is lightweight and it can be applied multiple times. However, it does not last long and washes off easily with water. So there you go. Lads, I think you could have looked that one up yourselves. Number six, utility stretch pocket on the thighs of the bib shorts. Cool or not? I think they're deadly. I think they're so, so cool. I'm definitely going to, my next set of bib shorts, I'm going to get these pockets on the thighs in them. I think they're like so cool. You can put your phone, your jellies, your banana, everything in there. Noel on our Saturday group, Howie and Noel, he wore a set with these pockets last week on the group spin, and the lads took the absolute piss out of him for them, saying that he should only wear, only gravel riders should wear those. I totally disagree. I think they're really, really cool. Number seven, CO2 canister versus pump. Now, I've only ever just had a small pump, but Anthony uses the CO2 canisters. And there's a lot of debate online in particular about the CO2 canisters not being environmentally friendly. And you do see them just chucked on the side of the road sometimes, which is absolutely scummy. Everyone should be picking up their CO2 canisters after they use them. If you're traveling with your bike as well with CO2 canisters, most of the airlines won't let you board with them or have them in your bike bag or your luggage. So I am going to stick with my simple pump. And you can get really tiny ones these days that they don't take up all your pocket space. So yeah, pump for me. Number eight, the best present for a cycling enthusiast. So this is the Garmin Varia. It's an amazing gift for a cyclist. And any of the blogs that I check, it's the number one rated product and the one that everyone recommends. So what is it? It's a bike radar and a light that I guess you could call smart. It tells you when cars are approaching by sending an alert to your bike computer. So you know if a car is approaching from behind. Not only that, but the light on the back of your bike will start to flash when it senses the car approaching. So you're more visible to the motorist too. So it's a really amazing piece of kit and I'd highly recommend this to everyone. I would feel completely naked without mine, especially during the dreary winter days in Ireland. So that is a super present for a cyclist. Number nine, what tire pressure do I run? Well, we did kind of cover this in one of the podcasts a few weeks ago. Personally, I use 90 PSI, but it totally depends on loads of things. The tires, are the roads wet? Are you racing? Are you going to be doing a lot of cornering? For me, I'm just a leisure rider. I stick in about 90 PSI, but again, that's not going to be for everyone. I put a TikTok up about this a few months ago. I got a lot of stick for it saying it was too high. So look at your manufacturer's recommendations and go with that. Number 10, Sarah, what's your Strava name? I want to follow you. This comes up a lot. I don't know why people would be interested in following my Strava, and I rarely update it, but it is something I want to get a little bit better at. My name there is Sarah Ann Egan. Number 11, why get clipless pedals? Do I really need to? It's scary. Yeah, bite the bullet. You do need them. They will give you more stability. You've got less likelihood of getting injured. You're going to get more power. You'll be using like the full range of movement. You're going to be activating all your muscles in your legs and bum. So yep, definitely bite the bullet and do it. Number 12, Road ID. Should I get one? So this is a system I think Lance Armstrong was promoting a while ago. It's like a little tag, and you can fit them on a wristband. I think they're compatible with Fitbit straps as well, or you can kind of wear them on a chain like dog tags. They have all your information on it, your blood type, your emergency phone numbers, if you're allergic to any type of medicines. And yeah, I don't think they're a bad idea at all. Number 13, what bike rack would you recommend? You've heard me saying this a million times, Seasucker. Just, they're amazing. They Seasucker bike rack has never ever let me down. I think it's an amazing piece of kit. Number 14, Sarah, what's a cool cycling brand? Don't say Rafa. Everyone wears Rafa. And actually, yeah, you're right. Everyone does wear Rafa for a reason, because the quality, the design is absolutely wonderful in Rafa, and that's why you pay a premium price for it. But I totally get that you don't want to be going out and wearing the exact same stuff as everybody else. And there's amazing brands out there. I love MAP. That's M-A-A-P. Oh, the stuff is so amazing there. Lacal is another one that's so cool, and the stuff is such a good quality. If you're looking for something really funky, great brand called Cafe du Cycliste, and another great brand called Heavy Pedal, which is very, very light on the pocket but has great designs and really comfortable kit as well. So there's loads of cool stuff out there that's high quality, washes and wears really well, but it's not Rafa. Number 15, team kit. So this is if you want to wear, you know, Bora Hansgrove cycling kit out on your rides or EF education. Absolutely no. For me, I just don't think so. Oh, and like some of the kit on the Tour de France Femme Avec Zwift this year, it was so beautiful and amazing, but I just can't bring myself to wear a team cycling kit with a sponsor plastered all over it. I think if you want to support the team, get yourself a t-shirt, maybe, you know, some of their other merch, like a beanie or a trucker hat, something like that. Number 16, what is watts per kilogram? Yeah, you'll hear cyclists talk about this all of the time. So let me try and explain this to you. Your watts per kilogram is your power to weight ratio. So watts per kilogram is your max power output in watts. Then you get that number and you divide it by your weight in kilos. So for example, someone with a weight of 80 kilograms with a power output of 280 watts will have a power to weight ratio of 3.5 watts per kilograms. So to kind of put that into context, the World Tour guys, they will be doing about 6 watts per kilo. 6 watts per kilo is kind of like the magic number that people need to get to be at that level of cycling. And very recently, I think it was Remco Evenepoel, he did over 7 watts per kilo for a 10 minute period or something. And that's completely insane. Okay, number 17, gloves or no gloves. I hate the feeling of gloves on my hands, fingerless gloves. Oh, the feeling gives me the ick, it freaks me out. That's just totally a personal thing. So if you want to wear gloves, go for it. I do wear gloves with fingers in the winter when it's cold, but those fingerless gloves, yeah, they are not for me. Number 18, headphones, in or out? Out. And if you have to wear them, just stick one headphone in, like be safe out there. Those new bone conductor systems seem to be better, because I think you can hear your music and you can still hear all the ambient noise around you. So cars approaching, things like that. So check those out. I haven't tried them myself, but I'm definitely going to look into it. Number 19, mudguards. I don't have mudguards on my bike, but I will be putting them on in winter. A lot of cycling clubs actually insist that you have mudguards on in the winter. So don't be surprised if you are asked to put mudguards on your bike as the weather gets a little bit colder and there's more rain. Number 20, should I put a bell on my bike to alert pedestrians? Just no. Number 21, floor pump. Do I need one? Yes, you do need a floor pump. This should be one of the most basic pieces of kit you own for your bike. Even if you never maintain your bike and you haven't a clue what to do with your bike, you still need this. Like, I would pump my tires, check my tires, pump them basically every time before I go out for a ride. So yeah, definitely get that piece of kit. Number 22, spats overshoes. Are they cool or not? No, wouldn't use the word cool. They're definitely substance over style. I don't know if anyone has ever seen these, but they're like skin tight wellies or like a thick neoprene, and they've got reflective substances on them, so you're lit up as well as nice and toasty. I think you could fire a nuclear weapon at these and it wouldn't even put a dent in them. They're hardcore. And yeah, I think wear your spats, because wear them with pride. There's just nothing as bad as being on the bike and you've got cold, wet feet. So yeah, spats getting the thumbs up for me. Number 23, Sarah, looking for a new helmet. Get this in a lot. What should I buy? I think it's really personal. You know, when you put these lids on your head, it's kind of like, well, what suits you, or what brand do you like? What brand shoes or bike do you have? Do you want to match? They're all really good. The technology in all the lids is excellent. They all have MIPS now. So they're all very, very safe and to a high standard. I wear POC and I love POC. I think it's the coolest cycling helmet brand out there. And that's, yeah, just the ones that I love POC. I just think they're really, really cool. And I feel very cool in my POC helmet. Whoa. I need to go and have a lie down after that. And I haven't even covered all the questions, but I'm running out of time here. Anthony's coming in. He's making like the T symbol at me. So I gotta go. He's like, time's up. So I haven't covered all the questions. I'm sorry about that, but maybe I can do another podcast about them in the coming weeks and cover anything I haven't gotten to. So I'm going to wrap it up for today. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you're enjoying the content that we're putting out, it'd be amazing if you could rate the podcast on your app. If you rate it and leave a review, it means so much to us. It helps us so much. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Safe pedaling, and I will chat to you again next week. Mwah. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Have you ever wondered how good you could actually be? Each of us has a unique set of circumstances with work, family, and social obligations, but we all still want to fulfill our potential in cycling. Okay, maybe you won't ever win the Tour de France, but for most of us, this is what cycling is about. So let us build you the perfect training plan around your lifestyle that's totally unique to you and will help you finally realize your cycling dreams. So whether you're just getting started on the bike or if you're a more seasoned cyclist, we have a suitable coach for you. So why not schedule a call with us and we can have a chat about how we can help you go further than you ever dreamed of in your cycling and fitness goals. Go to roadmancycling.com/contact or pop me an email directly to sarah@roadmancycling.com.